Mental Health Monday on Radio City Talk with Mick Coyle.
Radio City Talk.
Time for Mental Health Extra on Radio City Talk. It's a follow-up to yesterday's Mental Health Monday. That show is available to download as a podcast. That's a listen-again function, which you can get via any search engine. Just type in Mental Health Monday podcast and you get all the previous episodes. You can hear Liam Kelly's story. Liam was a brilliant guest on the programme as well. Fascinating insight into his life, which starts out with him playing Ultimate Frisbee in Japan. His mental health journey takes a different step from there. He sets it all out in this week's Mental Health Monday podcast, which you can check out via your podcast provider. We talk a Mental Health Extra on a Tuesday. Jake Mills from Chasing the Stigmas in the studio. Jake, it's great to see you.
And you.
I wasn't expecting the stories to begin with frisbees or throwing discs, because I think frisbee is a brand name. That's where Liam's story began. And he had an existence which was about travelling, seeing the world, then came back to find himself working on his own within an environment of bedroom in one room, desk in the next room. And actually, that was a huge curveball. He likened it to, you know, a comedian or a rock star who goes up on stage, performs, and then finds himself back in, you know, a local hotel without the screaming crowds there as well. And it can make a big difference. Might not be the total reason why somebody might have a mental health crisis, but you can understand the extremes of the environment there.
Yeah, it's definitely a huge contributing factor. And I can relate to that in terms of being a comedian, going back to a hotel room. I just can't relate to the screaming crowds. It's that isolation, it's that change a change in your life like that, whether it's an event that's happened, whether it's a change in circumstances, they are massive contributing facts, because you're having to change so much about yourself, your expectations, and especially the isolation of working alone. And I know we went on to talk about that in more depth, but they're definitely contributing facts. But it's important as well, because this is what this show is all about. It's about looking at it from different angles, looking at it for different reasons. You know, people will make assumptions all over the world about what mental health is, what depression is, what anxiety is, and what the contributing factors are to that. And it's important for us to talk about it. You know, if somebody is struggling with the mental health, whether that's depression, people will look for a reason, and they'll look for an obvious reason. And one of those obvious reasons might not be, well, he's come back and he's working, doing this now. But it absolutely is one of the reasons that can contribute.
And I guess as well, you know, changing circumstances, changing environment. As part of Liam's story, he touched on the fact he had two deaths of people who were prominent to him, close to him. And although they, again, might not have been the, you know, single factors involved here, again, that idea that life is different, life has changed, and then there are deaths, people, you know, you're losing people close to you as well, absolutely is going to make people feel uneasy, combined with that slightly awkward phase that, you know, men in particular appear to have when they come out through university, early 20s into mid 20s, where you suddenly think this is what grown-up life is supposed to be like. There's a vulnerability that comes with that those contributing factors can really start to pile up.
Well, that's what it is. It's contributing factors. It's an accumulation. Often it's an accumulation of different events, life events. Grief is a major part of that as well. And it's just these things just might build up. But if you're becoming unwell, if you're becoming depressed, then these can manifest and they can be magnified into much, much greater things. If you keep that inside and you just allow them to build up, then they will become something else. And that is why we talk about the importance of sharing, of talking before they do accumulate, before they do manifest, to be able to identify, actually, to know what something's here, and be able to talk about it. But as we hear time and time again, whether that was myself, the interview yesterday, or interviews any other week that you're doing this, really, it's people are often saying they didn't know at the time, but they only know now. And that's the difference. That's where the education comes in, to say this is what it might feel like and this is what you can do.
I thought it was interesting having a conversation with somebody who'd worked from home, and we touched on the idea that working from home, for a lot of people, I don't know, you kind of work from home, you're in meetings all the time though, but for some people it's seen as like, oh, this is the absolute dream now, this is cup of tea, this is homes under the hammer, this is it, we're working from home. But there's an isolation maybe to it, that if you're doing it because that's what you've got to do, then maybe it's not the choice that you would have made. And actually, you might find that actually being out somewhere else, doing business somewhere else, might be more beneficial. That, you know, this idea that, oh, I'm working from home, why am I not happy? It might be because it's not for you. You might not have those connections. You might not be able to, you know, meet those people who you would otherwise meet. You're not able to have those conversations that you would otherwise have.
Yeah, I think I couldn't help but smile when you talked about that, because I think that idea of the working from home, that's the dream. I think if you just take the word work out, that's the dream. Just being at home. Yeah. I think people just want to be at home. You forget actually that no, you are working and there's still a job to do. I have to say that I feel like my current work situation, I am absolutely loving it. But as you said, I'm out, I'm mixing with people, I'm seeing people, and then I go back and work on my own. But it's all the other bits that are really important. My wife spent many years working from home on her own, and that she really struggled with that from time to time, because as people we need others to be able to bounce ideas off to, especially if you're working in a creative environment, to be able to socialize, to be able to have something. If you're just on your own, that isolation, again, is so crucial, really, really important, and can play a massive part in your mental health as well. And that, you know, I think it's important, though, is that not everybody feels the same way, so it might be the dream for some people. But I'd always say at least go out and be outside. And...
Well, you know, but actually, and, you know, people might be thinking, you know, it's not to do with mental health, but anyone who's been at home all day, and everyone's done, you know, the movie day, or they call them duvet days. But I don't know about you, if it gets to like 5-6 o'clock at night and I realize I haven't been out of the house, I just have to get out of the house.
Yeah.
And there's something in my brain which goes, no, this doesn't feel right to have been in here all day. I feel like I've got to get out. Equally, anyone who knows anyone who spent any time off on maternity leave, if you have 6 months off, 10 months off, a year off, they'll speak to people and they'll go, you know, I've not spoken to another adult in 2 or 3 days. Or, you know, start talking to your, you know, your newborn baby about a whole host of different things. Because actually what you're reaching out for is connectivity based on presumably some sort of primeval thing that people lived in small communities where you'd always have someone to talk to and talk about. But that's actually a really normal existence for people now.
It is. And I think it's particularly important, as you touched on there, with maternity and paternity leave, particularly when women are off work for potentially a year, and mix that with all the feelings, all the kind of the pressure that you've got as a new mum to be able to look after your baby and all these different anxieties that you've got, to have that isolation as well while everyone else is in work. That's why it's really important to be getting out, to be going to the groups if you can, to be mixing with other people, to share your problems and thoughts and worries with other mums and dads. It's really, really a massive part of that kind of postnatal depression and what that the factors that can contribute to that. Massive part of that is isolation as well.
Jake Mills is with us for Mental Health Extra from Radio City Talk. Anxiety and agoraphobia, it's a really interesting one, this one. That anxiety, everyone gets anxious about certain things, but when anxiety becomes a real problem for people, it can be hugely debilitating. It can also close options to you as well, that you turn down opportunities that you otherwise would have got to avoid those feelings of anxiety. Something we've touched on before in terms of your own experience about doing things, not doing things, making decisions. I always get the sense with anxiety that it's almost like a gateway mental health issue that can lead to other things, that anxiety, if not dealt with at an early stage, can cause other problems, because by its very nature, you're closing off opportunities, you're closing off options. And it's maybe one of those things which, if nipped in the bud, if dealt with at a very early stage, can actually be hugely beneficial and save you a whole world of pain.
Yeah, it's. I always think that anxiety is one of the best examples for that cross between physical and mental as well. You know, anxiety can just be absolutely... It really is kind of heartbreaking, the things that it can prevent you from doing, and the, as you said, the cutting yourself off from so many opportunities, from social opportunities, and being around people who you want to be you like and want to be with, to opportunities for career, for anything, personal drive. But I just think often anxiety, I agree with what you're saying, but often as well, anxiety will be there as well as the other issues that you have. So say, for example, it goes hand in hand with depression, and that combination of depression and anxiety can just be a formula that's absolutely horrific, horrific.
Absolutely. But in Liam's story, he pointed out the fact that just the idea of sitting in a doctor's waiting room to tackle various mental health issues was almost scuppered by the fact that the anxiety and agoraphobia were preventing him, or wanted to prevent him, from even leaving the house.
Yeah, or he didn't even want to say over the phone either. That I think he's, I don't know if he said suicidal feelings, but he said, I didn't want to say it over the phone. Like, it's not just preventing you from opportunities, but preventing you from getting help as well. That's one of the things that we try to address as well with the Hub of Hope. One of the anxieties that I had was kind of, and still have, I suppose, is meeting new people and going into meetings, and particularly if you've never been to that building before, or you've never met them before. And that's why on the Hub of Hope, you'll have a street view of all the services that are available, because I want people to be able to say, right, how am I getting there? What does it look like? I don't want to be hanging around outside trying to work out if this is the building. We wanted to make it as easy as possible for you to plan ahead, to try and tackle those anxieties about going there. But yeah, it's a really, really common thing, but it can become such a devastating condition to have.
Jake, there was another story I wanted to touch in with you on at Mental Health Extra this week, and it's one of those stories which, it's the kind of story which would appear, and I don't know if this is the case, in certain newspapers, and it would come with this sort of warning and a think piece by some sort of, paid columnist, somebody paid to have strong opinions about things, and it was about blue badges. Disability badges, which are, you know, a bone of contention across various different things, who gets them, who doesn't get them, when you can get them, who can park there, whether or not there's room to park there, whether or not you've displayed correctly, and all that kind of thing as well. There's always been, but people know about blue badges. And an idea that actually you might introduce blue badges for people who had various mental health issues, and about whether or not that scheme would be beneficial to people. And I don't know about you, but I can almost hear people complaining about this. And the sort of things that they'll say. And maybe that's just me being very cynical about what people would think. But you know what I mean? That idea of, oh, well, really? Can you not walk very far? And but there's going to have been benefits to this, aren't there? And there will be benefits to it. I think Scotland have already got something in place where you can have it. This idea of, you know, not all disabilities are visible, I think is a phrase which people are starting to learn a little bit. But what do you make of the idea?
Well, straight away, I've heard literally that complaint.
Have you? See, yeah. I've not heard it yet, but I anticipate the complaint, because I kind of get a sense of how people react.
Somebody said, I heard a complaint, someone said, if you're that depressed that you can't drive, if you're that depressed that you can't walk, then you shouldn't be able to drive. Like, I think straight away, and I agree that actually in the tone of the way that it's being reported, is almost like, oh, can you believe this? And it's almost like straight away people assuming that, oh, well, people are going to make this up and just say that they're depressed, because how can you prove it, just to get a blue badge? It's quite a common thing, and not just with the blue badges, but even if you're talking about time off work for mental health related problems, people are like, oh, well, you're just going to get people who are just going to abuse the system. And it's like this fear of people abusing the system is preventing genuine people from getting help and making their lives easier. Do you know, this is not just going to be a case of filling out a form and clicking a button that says, I'm depressed, can I have a blue badge? But what it will do is it will enable people to live a bit of a easier life. It's not just for the people who, say, would be driving themselves. It's for care workers, it's for social workers to be able to use to take you to appointments, to take you to do vital things. You know, it is actually a really, really good idea. Now, I think maybe what they could do a better job of is explaining why it's a good idea and explaining how it's not just going to be abused, because we know that blue badges are abused anyway. But I think they probably could do a better job of explaining exactly why it is a good thing. But I do think that Scotland do use it at the moment. Yeah.
Because that is not about the stigma of mental health, isn't it? That's something we do very differently in society, which is complain about other people getting a so-called benefit.
Yeah.
As if walking literally another 50 yards in a supermarket is any difference makes any difference to anyone. You know, that's the nonsense of it. But that falls into a thousand and one different things with people going, if you can't find work, we'll give you money. And then people go, yeah, but what if you just pretend you can't find work just so you get the money? Right. What? So nobody who can't find work can get any money then? Is that going to be the system? That because one or two people might play a game in regard to this?
Exactly.
You know, you occasionally hear stories, don't you, about some bloke in China who pretending to be in a wheelchair so he could get into a, you know, a football match. I got a season ticket on a disability. And then people are, you see, that's why we need to be extra suspicious of absolutely everybody.
Yeah, that's it. Ruined it for everyone. Nobody gets it now. But, you know, it is. That's the approach I've heard from, or the reaction I've heard from the story. But even on kind of other news, other radio shows and phone-ins that I've heard, and I've heard it described by presenters as so-called mental... So people will be able to apply for blue badges for so-called mental disabilities or illnesses. And you're like, even the way you're reporting it, you're setting it up for this idea that people are just going to make it up because no one will be able to see that you've got a limp. You know, so if it's mental, then that's fine. You can just put an application in and be able to get away with it. And then you're getting people as well who are complaining about, well, I have this physical disability and I'm not allowed to get one, so why is somebody getting one for being depressed? It's not an idea. It's not this idea that someone's just going to get something for being depressed or being anxious. You know, there's certain levels, but it will make their lives easier. It will make their lives better, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, but also it does that thing, doesn't it, which it allows, you know, the right-wing side of the press to actually turn around and go, look, these lot are getting something that you're not getting, all because they are X, Y, and Z. And actually, if there wasn't the stigma, and the stigma comes from this, that people would go, yeah, but that makes sense because I'm educated about this and I know people who have talked to me about this and actually this might be beneficial to them. There'd be, I would imagine, the vast, vast majority of people who have any kind of mental health issue in their life would think, well, actually, that probably wouldn't be relevant to me, that actually that car park thing is, you know, not an issue. So therefore, I don't need to apply, and therefore somebody who does need it, or someone who's just blagging, can actually get that pass in the same regard. But actually, it becomes this thing of, look at these, quote, victims.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was about to say, is that it is victim blaming. It's saying, you know, look at these, and they don't have to pay for it. They can park wherever you want, and you have to go and pay £5 an hour, and look at them, what have they got wrong with them? Have they even got anything wrong with them?
Well, that was the one. But that was in the newspapers just a few months ago of a female police officer. Don't need to say female. A police officer who had time off work with stress, but she'd gone on holiday, and there was a photo of her on a beach, on holiday, and they were going, look at her, off with so-called stress. And I think, look, if I'm feeling stressed, where's the number one place I want to be?
Go and get better.
On a beach on holiday. Getting better. And this idea, and it was that so-called, she claimed to have mental, and then like they'd looked at it and they'd even investigated it and they'd gone, oh yeah, no, that's absolutely fine. It's well within the rules. She was aware of the rules. She knew she could go on holiday. She went on holiday. Whether or not she wants to put photos on her social media like everybody else does in the world is entirely up to her.
Yeah, and this is where the stigma comes into it. And I think, you know, all the time we hear about people who are trying to, we'll remove this stigma. But it's these little things, this little undercurrent that you probably don't even notice every single day. Things like so-called mental health problems, things like that. They're the ones that are going to be ingrained with us because they're the things that we're seeing every single day. And again, it's about this victim blaming. It's about this idea that somebody's getting away with something, and we don't know if they're blagging or not, and you're going to be worse off for it. It's just like, that's the stigma that's attached to it.
Yeah, or actually, it's not going to affect you in any way, shape or form.
Of course.
But you just don't want somebody else to have something that you've not got.
Yeah. And that's what it comes down to, really, at the end of the day, is like, well, I want to park on double yellow lines. That's kind. Just phone up the radio show and just say you want to park on double yellow lines, because that's what it's come down to.
It's that thing of going like, well, how come the teachers can have mobile phones at school? It's because they're grown adults. It's because they're grown out and they're not sexting each other. Maybe they're not. I don't know. Maybe they are. I don't know. What's going on with Chasing the Stigma this week, Jake?
We've got a lot going on. Hopefully I will have more information for you next week. I'm going to be really annoying now and tell you.
Now, you've done this for a couple of weeks now, Jake.
Yeah, I know. I've been building up, But so when I tell you next week, I've just got a new tattoo or something's going to be disappointing.
Got a car park pass for St. John's downstairs.
Yeah, but no, we're working on something really special that I will be able to tell you about next week.
Will it be an exclusive on Radio City Talk?
Yeah. Well, what? Something will.
Thank you for your time. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
Jake Mills. The Mental Health Monday podcast is available to download, and you'll get Mental Health Extra for free as well, included in that. Mental Health Monday's free as well, from Radio City Talk.
Mental Health Monday with Mick Coyle.
On Radio City Talk.